Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is our second hour. If you missed any of the first hour, you can hear us on podcast on iHeartRadio or anywhere 24/7 that you listen to podcasts, you can find us. And we are having a wonderful day, beautiful sunrise this morning. We're going to be getting some rain. Yay, it's summer, it's Florida, we're going to rain. And so, but we have a wonderful show for you. We want to say thank you to Heather Stickney from the Summit Responsible Solutions, who was with us last hour, and we appreciated that. What can you be growing this time of the year? It's hot, Teresa, and it's raining a lot. What plants can handle it? Well, I tell you what, there are a lot of flowers and shrubs and bulbs that you can be planting right now that really love this kind of weather. And one are vegetables, boniata, calabaza, cherry tomatoes. So tomatoes do not produce fruit when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. They need to have a little bit lower temperatures. But cherry tomatoes can grow tomatoes and produce fruit all year round. So cherry tomatoes or the Everglades tomato, okra, southern pea and Seminole pumpkins, sweet cassavas, roselle, sweet potatoes, and yard-long beans. You want to start now your transplants of eggplants and peppers and tomatoes from seed. This is the time to buy the seed, get your tomatoes and peppers and eggplants all started now so that you can plant them in August and have tomatoes by the end of September. So this is the time to get them. If you wait until September or the fall, you may not be able to find those exact tomatoes that you want to grow. So now's the time to do it. The flowers you can be growing right now, angelonias and ageratums, begonias and blue days. Also bush daisies and butterfly plants, cat whiskers. I love cat whiskers. These are one of the plants that you can have that add a little height to your garden, but they're not dense. So they kind of wave in the wind and you can see through them. So they're kind of very, very delicate, but very sturdy. You know, they're it's just a great plant. Coleuses and chrysanthemums, and then gaillardias and goldenrods, angels, trumpet, lantana, marigolds and melampodiums, sweet potatoes and pentas, periwinkles, Mexican sunflowers and moonflowers, purslane and salvia. And so then the herbs, of course, you need to plant herbs during the summertime that can take the heat. Anise and basil, bay laurel and chives, dill and ginger, lemon balm, Mexican tarragon, which you make Bernays sauce out of. Mm. I love Mexican tarragon. And mint, okay? You plant mint in a pot, okay? Do not let mint out in your yard.
Don't let it go rogue. Plant it in your garden. Don't plant it anywhere that you want to not ever not see it again.
So do turkeys eat mint?
Mine have not.
Yeah, they're not going to get rid of their bad breath from eating beetles, right? You need to try and force them to eat the mint.
Yes.
Sunflowers and terrenias. Well, because they sit on your lap, don't they? They want to sit.
It's crazy. My turkeys actually come and try to, and they sit on my lap. So I just kind of have to, because of their claws, I kind of push them down to the ground and sit crisscross applesauce right beside them and pull them in.
Yeah, get them to eat them in. Sunflower and terrenias and then zinnias. So we have wonderful flowers that you can be planting right now in your bed. But let's go for the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is bolting. And bolting is a condition that happens when the plants have had extreme stress, usually heat, and it goes past their growing time. And when they bolt, they start to get bitter leaves. And so the plants that are affected by bolting are lettuce and artichokes, and then also to spinach and radishes. They start to look odd, and they get a deeper, darker color and very, very bitter. So how can you prevent bolting? Well, you can prevent bolting by cutting your plants and eating them. You want to cut your spinach often. And then also to your lettuce. Keep cutting it And if you're using the Asian spinaches, cut it often and make those really expensive micro greens salads. Use the leaves, get them. There's nothing abnormal about it. It's just the process, the lifespan of the leaf. Now, what kind of plants get bolted? Well, let me just read: arugula and basil and beets, bok choy and broccoli, Brussels sprouts and cabbage and carrots, cauliflower and celery, chard and cilantro collards, endive, garlic. I did not know garlic bolted.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, no, I did not know that. Kale and kohlrabi, onions bolt too as well, parsley and radicchios, radishes and rutabagas. I love rutabagas. And spinach and turnips. And so, yes, some of those were winter vegetables, so the heat may not affect them, but the cold temperatures will and cause them to bolt as well. So the dirty word of the day is bolting. Harvest your vegetables and fruits. You can do that. You can also shade your plants from the hot, the summertime sun. That will also help produce it. Make sure they're getting enough water. Stress will cause your plants to bolt. So it's just a normal process that happens. But if you want to get the best use out of your edible garden, make sure you harvest them. That's going to be the best way to do it. We're going to be back with your gardening questions, and I have Clay Wallace coming up. He's the head grower for Classic Caladiums. We're going to be talking about growing caladiums here in Florida. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. One of Florida's most favorite, most popular tropical plants are caladiums. And caladiums is the subject right now. I have Clay Wallace here with Classic Caladiums. He has worked in the green industry for over 25 years. Clay is the head grower at Classic Caladiums. This is the world's largest caladium grower in the world. They are based in Lake Placid. And Clay is responsible for caladium research and trials and developing new caladium varieties. I wanted Clay to come on and talk because upcoming in the next 2 weeks is the Classic Caladiums, the Caladium Festival. Good morning, Clay. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I'm great.
That's a lot of C's, Clay and Classic Caladiums, and it's a lot to say there. So thank you so much for joining me. July 25th through the 27th, plant lovers from all over, we're going to make a pilgrimage to Lake Placid, Florida, for the 34th annual event of Caladium Festival. So why is Lake Placid perfect to host the world's Caladium Festival?
Well, we think Lake Placid is perfect to host the festival just because that's where all the growers are, right?
Right.
Southern Living named it one of the most charming cities in the United States. So not only does it have those two things going for it, it's also got a climate for caladiums. It's like centrally located in Florida, and in this region we have enough summertime for the caladiums to create a tuber. You could go further south and still have the same amount of summertime, but we're about as far north as you could go in the United States to be able to produce caladiums commercially.
Wow, that's really good. Now, where are caladiums from originally?
They're from the Asias, Central Americas. There's a river in Africa called the Madeira River, and that's originally where they were cataloged.
Uh-huh.
But they were brought over from that area by French researchers.
Okay. So what main caladium varieties are there? What should people know about caladium varieties?
Well, when you're at the festival, you're looking around, and a lot of people get focused on the larger leaves and the bigger plants, but there are two main kinds of caladium, two main types. You know, we have fancy type, which is the big, round, heart-shaped leaves that are, you know, what people typically think of when they think of a caladium. Then you have what's called a strap or a lance leaf, and it's a little more elongated, and the stem of the plant connects to the top of the leaf, and the leaf flows downward from the stem. And that's how you tell the difference between a fancy and a strap. The fancy stem connects to the middle of the leaf, and the strap is at the top, and the leaf flows down from the stem. The nuances of each one are very different. Your fancies are like a firework of the caladium. They mm-hmm. shoot up real quick. You get big leaves, a big bold statement, and you know, they slowly send leaves out, but you get this just a big burst all of a sudden. Your strap is like a plotter. It's going to send four or five leaves up, maybe a week behind the fancy, and then throughout the season it's going to send more and more leaves up. You'll get a larger, more compact plant out of the strap. So it's just whatever you're needing for your situation.
Well, I love using them to rim my borders of my garden beds. They make a really mm-hmm. nice border. And what colors do they come in?
Well, they come in a range of colors, and the colors are getting more varied by the year with our breeding programs. So, you know, the standard colors are red, white, and pink. That's usually what they're sold as, but we have purples now. We have oranges. We've got some in research that are yellow. We've got all kinds of shades of red, all shades of pink, green on green, green on white. So, you know, we even have a black one and one that looks like, you know, a creme brulee pastry. So,
oh my goodness!
You know, the colors are getting more varied as the genetics get deeper and deeper with our breeding.
I am so excited about the black one. What is this name?
Well, it's going to be available next spring.
Okay.
Through the Proven Winners plant variety program, and the name of it's going to be called Midnight Oil, and it's a black with green undertones. So as the plant ages through the seasons, you know, summer, you know, fall, that kind of deal, more mm-hmm. green will show through. So mm-hmm. it'll be like the plant changes with the seasons itself and gets itself ready for fall. So you got a spring color, and then you got a fall color as well.
Wow, that's very exciting. Sign Lizzie and I up. That'll be great. So what are the best conditions to grow caladiums for our new listeners and new residents of Florida?
Well, best case scenario is probably going to be something that gets about 4 to 6 hours of morning sun, and you know, the soil stays nice and moist. They can grow in a wide range of soils as long as, you know, seed is provided and water. So that seed can come in the form of a slow release, which is recommended, and water can be either rain or irrigation. Now, we have tolerances that we've bred into caladium, so we can plant caladiums in the full sun all day long and in deeper shade than that 4 to 6 hours. But all caladiums love the shade, but there are a handful of varieties that can handle full sun all day long.
So I noticed that some communities and commercial properties use them as annuals. Do we have to take caladiums out of the ground or throw them away after they start to decline?
No, ma'am, you don't. As you get closer to I-10 here in Florida, that's along the panhandle, mm-hmm. Your caladiums will get more tender. So anything south of I-10, we call them perennials. As you get closer to I-10, they're tender perennials. And above I-10, you may have to mulch hard, maybe up to 8B for some varieties. But past that, they are annuals. So anywhere they'll perenniate, they will come back. Now, there's a lot of factors that prevent them coming back, you know, real full. Squirrels love to play with the bulbs. They don't eat them, but they'll dig them up and move them around.
Yeah.
We have, you know, diseases in the soil. If it's a real dry spot, you know, your stand may come back thinner, and you may have to thicken up some spots, but there's nothing special to make them come back. Fertilize and water.
Okay, so, you know, for zones up above 8B, 7, 6, 5, can they take them out of the ground and just dry them off and put them in the basement or the cellar and then replant them the next year, or do they need to stay in the ground?
Well, you can. Now, as you get further north above I-10, you'll have diminishing returns on your redig of your bulb. So if you start with a jumbo, you may get a season or two out of being able to dig it up and replant it. But anything smaller than that may not have enough time to build the bulb.
Okay.
A lot of people that we sell to the north, they'll have like a sunroom or a patio or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they may plant them in the landscape as well, but they may have a pot or two they want to bring in, and that's more than fine for a caladium. You can bring them in and let it finish out its life cycle.
Oh, great tip. Great tip. Thank you. And so,
but if you're going to store them in your cellar, they've got to stay above 65.
Okay. That's important. Okay, that's good. So tell us about the Caladium Festival, July 25th through 27th this weekend. It's not only a festival for caladiums, but there's going to be a cars out there, and then also vendors, all types of vendors. Tell us about the Caladium Festival.
Oh, yes, ma'am. The festival has gotten quite large. Like as you mentioned, we have the car show that's on that Saturday, the 26th. Last year, I think we had about 180 entries or something like that.
Wow.
It was huge. And then we have the festival itself, which consists of three growers. So we'll have us, we'll have Classic Caladiums. There'll be Bates Sons and Daughters and Florida Boys Caladiums. And each in each vendor, each caladium will have their own set that they bring. So there may be some overlapping varieties, but there's a lot of unique varieties within each farm that's not carried over to another farm. Other than that, we have entertainment all day long. We have food trucks and local nonprofits that do food. We also have, I think it's a, maybe it's a tick over 200 crafts and vendors there as well this year. And they also do plants and any other kind of craft you can think of.
That sounds like fun.
Now a question for you. Do you guys take cash, credit card only? Because a lot of festivals now are only going to cards only. So what are y'all accepting?
Right. So I can speak for our farm. We take cash, check, and card. The other farms, I don't know exactly what they take. I know all that everybody takes cash, of course. But I don't know if they accept cards.
Okay.
So, but there is a bank within, you know, visible distance of the festival. So they have an ATM outside, and people tend to use that ATM during the festival to pull money out.
So Clay, I want to stress though that the festival is free, right? And you only charge. There's a tour that they can take of the Caladium farm, and that costs money.
Right. The entry to the festival, the walking around, all the entertainment, you know, all of that's free because it's an open-air festival and stage. If you want to do any kind of bus tour, which you'll have a grower on the bus talking about caladiums as you drive by the fields and farms and the different varieties. They'll tell you a little bit about the town. That does cost. You can buy those tickets on caladiumfestival.org. But that's really the only thing that costs other than if you wanted to purchase something while you're there. But it's an open-air festival, so it's free to get in.
So there's going to be plants for sale, and so the caladiums, can they be bought by plants, or do you have bags of bulbs they can buy too as well?
So our tent will have bulbs and plants. I believe Bates and Sons and Daughters will have plants and bulbs as well. And Florida Boys, they just do bulbs.
There you go. I love the Florida Boys, all right? So Clay, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. I would love to go. And so tell us about the Caladium Festival in Lake Placid, July 25th through 27th. And what is the website again?
The website is caladiumfestival.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Clay. I certainly appreciate it. We'll stay in touch. Thank you so much for all your research.
All right, Teresa, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
I'm telling you, 1 year I'm going to make it. I'm really going to try this year to make
it. I think we are, too.
I said last year I was going to do it, and then something happened.
Yeah.
I'm putting on my
calendar.
Lake
Placid is a beautiful city, and it's just going to be, it's a wonderful, wonderful trip. But I'd like to take the tour of the farm.
Yes.
But I want to get down there and buy the bulbs.
Thank
just
you.
Just buy a bag of like 30 bulbs and have them come up. That's I don't know where I'm going to put them, but.
Tony, turn off your radio.
There you go. Thank you so much to Clay Wallace with Classic Caladiums. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. A big thank you to Clay Wallace with the Classic Caladiums Growers, and they are sponsors of the Classic or the Caladium Festival in Lake Placid, July 25th through 27th. So thank you. Let's go to David. Good morning, David. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. How are you doing?
I am doing great.
I'm the extension agent in Highlands County Residential Horticulture, and
yes,
I'm the Master Gardener Coordinator.
Hi.
And we're having a little class today on growing fruit trees at 10 o'clock at the Bert J. Harris Agricultural Center. I just wanted to see if I could get a shout-out for it. Sounds like I'm on the air.
That's wonderful. You are on the air. So say the class and the title and the name really slowly of the location.
So it's Growing Fruit Trees in Central Florida. And it's at the Bert J. Harris Agricultural Center, where the extension office is, at 4509 George Boulevard in Sebring. And it is at 10 o'clock this morning. And it should be a very interesting class. I'm going to be selling some guavas and a few other plants that the Master Gardener volunteers grow. And so we do this once a month. Next month is vegetables. The month after that is orchids, and we're doing beekeeping. And then we have our big festival, which is in November on the third week, and that's a big deal with lots of vendors and things like that.
That's exciting, David. So how much does it cost?
The class is $15, and it's a two-hour class.
That is great. And they'll be able to purchase some plants when they're there today?
There will be a few things. I saw the ladies out at the prop shed gathering up a few things, but I know they had guavas for sure.
That's wonderful. Excellent. All right, David, thank you so much for calling in. I do appreciate it. I love extension. So you can call
thank
in anytime
Teresa.
So much. Anytime, that would be great. Thank you so much. We'll mention it again before the end of the show.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. I taught with extension for over 10 years, and so I love extension.
And it's good because a lot of times because of how fast everything's moving in the world right now, it's little things like that get missed, and it's things that you would like to attend, and especially if you're new to Florida.
And it's such an important resource for the counties. Mm-hmm. You can go there, and agriculture and landscaping and even, you know, growers. Extension office in your county is the main source for your information. That is wonderful.
Yes.
So thank you, David, for calling. That is Growing Fruit Trees. And that's going to be at the Bert J. Harris Building on 4509 George Boulevard. And that's in Sebring, Highlands County at 10 a.m. Cost is $15. It'll be totally worth it.
You missed your calling as being a court reporter. I'm just saying. Y'all should have seen her writing that down. I'm like, there's no way, because I will write something down fast. And I'm like, what did I write? Because I can't reread it. But she's sitting here just busting it out. So
good job. I'm a note taker. Thank you. All right. 1-888-455-2967. If you have a gardening question, we'd love to hear from you. Also, you can text 23680 like Glenn and Kissimmee did. And he said, hi, Teresa. My hibiscus suddenly has discolored and misshapen leaves. Do you know what the problem may be? It's a pretty common pink color hibiscus. It's about 25 years old, but it looked great until this week. Okay, so some clues in what you're describing, Glenn, is one, it happened suddenly. And suddenly, overnight, or like just within a week, that's going to tell me, one, that it may be an issue with an herbicide. If you or your neighbor sprayed herbicide and it got a wind drift, that will suddenly get all the leaves to become misshapen and new ones to come out discolored and just look really gross. The other issue, it could be pest issues, mites or scales or different types of thrips. So you either have an insect issue or you have a herbicide issue. And one, if it's an herbicide issue, make sure it gets some water, real good watering for the next 3 to 5 days, a lot of water. That's going to help bring it out or dilute the system of the plant. But you can then also cut those leaves off and let it start to sprout out again. This is a good time of the year to cut hibiscus so it won't hurt it and, you know, you'll get new growth immediately. If it's an insect issue, look at the leaves underneath the side of the leaves. Look at the ground, the stem. See if you can see what the problem is for pests. You can get a piece of white paper, shake the leaves, and see if anything falls on the paper. If you find an insect issue, you want to be very careful about hibiscus spraying it with chemicals. Like the herbicides, hibiscus do not like to be sprayed with chemicals. And you may see the leaves, you know, become deformed again. So, and the heat of the day is just not good. So if it is an insect issue, you're going to want to wait until the late afternoon or very early morning hours, early in the morning, like 6, 7 a.m., and take care of it by using a pesticide. Okay, but determine what the problem is before you use a chemical on it. All right, and just check. Maybe your neighbor did spray something and an airflow came through, or maybe you did. Or not necessarily spray, but if you used a systemic close by or sprayed the ground close by, maybe it's your turf that you put a weed killer on, that may be the issue too as well. We don't want to use weed killers during the summertime. Okay, don't use herbicides when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. That's not good. Now, if you're spraying your garden beds, and edging with a weed killer, and I see a lot of landscape companies do that. They just edge. You'll see them walking around with sprays, and they just edge with weed killer.
Oh, wait. How does that not get? Because the wind blows.
Yeah, but also the ground. Yeah. But if you're doing it on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, the ground gets saturated and the roots can be affected of the plants you don't want to kill.
The runoff.
Yeah, the runoff and just the absorption of the roots. You know, roots don't stay directly underneath the plant. You know, they do spread out, especially if they've been there a while, like 25 years. And so, you know, you just want to be careful. Check with your landscapers, Glenn, and see if that's the issue. We're going to be right back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. I'll answer your questions. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I know you're going to get to the time. It's going to be like 5 minutes before the show ends, and your question's going to pop up. So go ahead and ask us. We would love to have you on and answer your questions.
And the good thing is, though, is that even during the weekend, if you think of a question, just still text us right whenever you think of it to pick up your phone and text us at 23680 and just say first say Teresa at the front of it and then say your location, your first name, and then what your question is, because I'm here 6 days a week. So when I come in Monday morning, I scan our text line to make sure she gets it.
Wow. I appreciate that so much, Lizzie. All right. So I talked about weeds and not using an herbicide during the summertime when temperatures are over 85 degrees. So the next time you want to use like a weed and feed, which we don't recommend, but you know, if you're using a weed killer, wait until the end of September, first part of October, when the temperatures are a little bit lower. One, because right now the weeds are really busting out. They're very strong, very energetic, growing, and the herbicide will kind of kick their butt, but it's not going to kill them completely. So it's going to do more damage to your turf than it is to the weed. So it's kind of futile. But if you wait until the end of the summertime, the weeds are going to be extremely tired. And I know I talk about them as if they're human, but it's true, is that they just have spent all their energy growing all summer long. The herbicide is more likely to be effective, and the temperatures, they'll be able to absorb it. So, you know, don't use herbicides right now. But I will tell you that weeds in your yard is not good. They're going to take away from your turf getting irrigation and then also the nutrients in the soil. So they compete for it, and the weeds usually win. Let's go to Tom in Merritt Island. Good morning, Tom. How can I help you? there we go. Tom in Merritt Island.
Yeah, from Merritt Island. So some time ago, I planted crookneck squash and zucchini, and they came up, and they were doing okay. Then the crookneck got wiped out by stem borer, but the zucchini didn't.
Right.
They did suffer some during the drought we had, which we're still in drought here on the Space Coast.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's
yeah,
terrible.
And the zucchini ended up being healthy, nice-looking plants, and they bloomed, but they never set any fruit of any kind.
Yeah, that's the temperatures over 85 degrees. They're not going to do it.
Okay, I figured it might be something like the tomatoes where the temperatures are quite right.
I'm sorry to hear that, but yeah, no, they'll keep growing, but they just don't have now. The other thing is that they didn't get good pollination, and so the next time you grow them, you might just want to look and just take a little brush and just kind of double dip with Mother Nature and just, move the pollen around a little bit with a little paintbrush and see if that helps that they get germination.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see online and people talking about having way too much zucchini. And
and you wish you did.
lots of blooms, but no squash.
No, they're not going to do it this time of the year, so I understand. So.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate it. I hope you get some rain. Let's go to Bill in Georgetown. Bill, you've got fire ants. Good morning, Bill.
I apologize. We're having some technical issues here. He should be on now.
Good morning, okay. Bill. Can I hear you? I can hear
yes.
you.
Okay.
How can I help you?
I think I asked this question last year, and I probably didn't hang around to find out the answer. Fire ants. I'm not seeing many of them. I have maybe one little mound out there, and they used to cover my yard. Is there a reason that they're just kind of disappearing, or is it just my imagination?
No.
Yeah, they're all at my house because I swear we live on this year. I have seen nothing but ants and fire ants.
So here's a great question and a follow-up question, Bill. You called last year, and what did you do last year when you called? Did you follow my advice, or?
I probably didn't hear your advice.
But you didn't do anything with them?
Well, I don't have them. I mean, there's not enough around to even bother with them anymore.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is, last year, did you do anything with them?
No.
No? No. Well, you know what? I will tell you, if you have ants, so there's certain ants, and I will tell you there's termites. Termites eat fire ants, too, as well. So there's a number of different reasons why the fire ants aren't in your yard anymore, and a lot of times it could be that they just move the hive. They move, or not the hive, but the anthill. They move the colony. They move the queen, and so they're just not in your yard anymore. Shh. Bill, why are you saying this out loud to the universe?
Because I'm happy because I don't have them, I guess.
You're bragging. There you go. I appreciate that, Bill.
I did. Okay, I'll admit that I used to spray with Ortho Home Defense. I'd go out there and spray every mound because I didn't want them. And maybe the cumulative effect over the years has done something. I don't know.
That you killed the queens. You finally eventually got them to you know.
But I'm not seeing them anywhere else, really. I live up here in Putnam County, and I'm not really seeing them like I used to see them.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting. I'll kind of research that and see if I can find a reason for it. I don't think it's the drought because usually, the ants love it when it's a drought because the sand and the soils are so dry.
I will say that the drought has a negative effect on them. And when we have more rain, I see a lot more activity, but I'm not seeing it this year.
Well, so what I'm saying, though, is that they can go down deeper, so they're not creating the mounds, whereas when it rains a lot, then you see them above a little bit higher.
I grow a lot of stuff in big plastic pots, and they love to get into them.
Yeah, they do. Well, Bill, that's very interesting. Thank you so much. I hope it stays that way.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree. Holy cow. I mean, I did not realize how much of an ant mound we just live on until here this last 2 years. And I'm like, why is there ants popping up everywhere? This is crazy talk.
I was looking at a declining ligustrum tree this week, and they wanted to know if it was dying. And there were three different varieties of ants in this tree running all up and down the bark. And I said, it was declining, but I was just surprised to see all the different ants.
Well, and what's funny is you think like cedar tree, insects don't like cedar trees. Well, I went to start chopping some branches off because we're readjusting. I know, shocker. We're readjusting our turkey run area again. sure enough, I saw like the little holes in the tree, like some of the branches. And I'm like, There's no way those are beetles. Well, whenever I cut the branch off, that's full of ants.
Yes. They're probably carpenter ants, too, as well. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's crazy.
So, yeah. So your turkeys are like children that never leave home.
But you can eat them, though. Legally, you can't eat your own kids. So
there you go. That's wonderful. I want to say a big thank you to Heather. Heather Stickney, Summit Responsible Solutions. She's the national sales manager. It is an excellent product. They are sponsors of the show. But I tell you, I have not seen anything work so well as they do on mosquitoes and then also ticks and fleas. And now with the year-round spray oil, you can handle the fungal issues that we've been talking about today and bacteria issues. So it's a great product. Check it out. And we do appreciate them sponsoring the show. Let them know you do appreciate them. I also want to thank Clay Wallace for coming on and talking about the Caladium Festival. Lots of fun, lots of food, lots of plants. You can go buy bags of bulbs. You can also buy different varieties. It is a plant. Caladiums are a plant that you can get hooked on, collecting different varieties. But it's also, they make great borders in the garden, and they look really, really good. They look really sharp.
I never thought about using them as a border. So that is very interesting.
Yeah, just put them in a circle right around your trees, and they do very well. So okay. I like using them. I love the colors of them, and I'm excited about the new colors coming up. So that is the classic the Caladium Festival, July 25th through the 27th. It is free to get into. If you'd like to take one of the tours of the farms, Caladium Farms, it's $15. And then you could also, too, there will be three growers there, different types of caladiums. You can go get, six of all different kinds of varieties. And they multiply. So they multiply exponentially. So it's a great plant to get one or two of. And then you just keep getting more and more and more.
Well, what I like is the fact that they have so many different colors now.
Yes.
There's spotted
I love that.
Ones.
I'm very excited about the orange and the yellow.
And the midnight oil.
Midnight oil coming up from Proven Winners. Proven Winners is an excellent plant company. Mm-hmm. They're always coming out with great new plants. And I love that. Also, too, if you're in Hillsborough County today at the Extension office in Highlands County, they're at 10 o'clock, 4509 George Boulevard at the Burt J. Harris Extension Building in Sebring, 10 o'clock. You can get an excellent talk. The cost is $15, but yes. You'll go learn about growing fruit trees, and you can also buy plants
yes.
too as well.
And if you're Lakeland area, Peterson's Nursery
is having their webinar on summer weed control. That's at 9:30 BYOC, bring your own chair, and you will love that program, and they're just a really great thing. Also, Quality Green Specialist Nurseries has a great buy. If you love Seminole pumpkins, or if you don't even know what Seminole pumpkins are, go to Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand, Michigan Street there, 353 West Michigan Street, and you will just walk around, and there will be so much you can learn. Their staff is very knowledgeable, and Dana is just so much information.
Wealth you can give of it. Knowledge.
Wealth of knowledge there. Thank you so much, Lizzie. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're going to be back Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of this show or you'd like to catch recaps of other topics that you may have missed, go to betterlawns.com.